You turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:14 this morning. We're going to kind of look at that, but we're going to kind of look at some different scriptures this morning. But there's where we'll begin this morning, 2 Chronicles 7:14. This morning, I just want to share with you a message, prayer. You can't touch God without it. It's the avenue that we have to come into his presence. It's the way we speak to him, the way he speaks to us through the avenue of prayer and his word. But I want us to look at that this morning because, you know, we're going to have revival next week, and our country needs a revival. We always need a revival in our individual lives and our churches. So I want us to look at that this morning, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You found it, look up here at me. All right, let's stand and honor the reading of God's word. You all know these verses well. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for just a privilege to worship you, to be in your presence, be called your children, to know heaven as our home one day. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to proclaim your truth, the power, the unction, the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Lord, if there's someone here who hasn't trusted in Jesus as their personal Savior to be born again in the family of God, Lord, I pray today, this very day, they would give you their lives, be forgiven of all their sins, and know heaven, Beulah Land, as their home. We give you thanks for what you do in Christ's name. And amen. You know, this nation needs revival desperately. I'm sure you keep up with the news and what's going on like I do. And I was reading this week in just normal study time reading in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. And we've always heard this before, and we always think of this passage in the concept of spiritual warfare. He says in verse 24, "Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.' But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand and is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided itself will not stand.'" We always think about that in the context of spiritual warfare, come against Satan, the principalities, the darkness of this world. But all of a sudden it dawned on me. Jesus said, "Every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand." Our nation is divided like you wouldn't believe today. We got people that want to stand for God, people want to follow God's word, and we've got some others that just want to be godless in everything they do and say. Jesus said, we cannot stand this way. We're going to fall. You know, and this passage of Scripture talks about revival. And it's more than a recipe. I think it's a prescription for healing. And a person who doesn't need to pray and say, "I'm okay, I don't need to pray," I can tell you right now, you're proud. That you don't say you need God. You don't need it. Our nation doesn't need God. You know, we say we don't need God in our nation. That group that says we don't, they're nothing but prideful. I want to just share just a few little simple things this morning about prayer with you. Number one, you're filling in your little outline there in your bulletin. Number one is we need to pray. Now, I want you to think about something. Jesus, the creator, the sustainer of life, the one who put it all together, the Lord of all, prayed. You know, we can understand Peter praying because he was always getting himself in trouble, amen? Always making wrong decisions, always saying wrong things. We understand Paul and all the battles that he went through. We understand the disciples needing to pray, but Jesus, did he need to pray? He's the Son of God. He has all power, all authority. He's given him. Why would he pray? But he did. What does that say to us? If Jesus, while he was on this earth, prayed, what does it say to us about our need for prayer? You know, it's amazing that we can protest and we can have rallies and we can have sit-ins and we can have candlelight vigils and we can have all kinds of stuff. But there are our own efforts to evoke change. You know, the greatest avenue for change is prayer. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5, For we walk in the flesh, but do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, bodily, but mighty in God to pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high wicked thing that exalts except against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. Paul said, we don't war according to the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not swords and spears and guns and things like that. The weapons of our warfare is the word of God and prayer. You stop and think about it. We need to pray. We need to pray for our families. I don't know of a family anywhere that isn't experiencing heartache and heartbreak right now over something in their family. Whether it be one of their family members is caught up in drugs or alcohol, they're going to divorces, they're fighting and fussing with one another, they're having all kinds of grief and problems. It's in my family, it's in your family. The battle in our nation is for the family. And it's a mess right now. We need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray that we'd have revival. We need to pray for Cody as he comes. We need to pray that we'd be salt and light. We'd share the gospel. We need to just not sit in our holy huddles in the church and say everything's good and fine and we're doing good. We're going to heaven. We sing about Beulah. Not go out there and tell anybody about Jesus. And if you don't have a heart for that, pray and ask God to give you a heart. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our community. You know, it's amazing. You turn on the TV, you look on the internet, everything that you see about going on in Chicago and New York and all these other big cities, you know, all of that's here in Morristown, too, and in Hamlin County. You talk about drugs, it's here. You talk about murder and rape and mayhem and all that things, it's here. There's nothing that we're isolated from when it comes to trouble. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray for our sheriff and all those at work and law enforcement and Tracy and Pat and all of them. We need to pray. We need to pray for our nation. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'll try to, you know, kind of like I try to look at what Daniel did. Daniel asked God to forgive the nation for all they had done and their forefathers had done. And sometimes I'll mentally start going down to the Ten Commandments and asking God to forgive us in this nation for breaking Ten Commandments. You know, there's not a commandment of all the ten that this nation isn't flaunting in the face of God. And I'll go back from number 10, thou shalt not covet, all the way down. Now I get to number 1, I shall have no other gods before me, and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. When I think about that, that's the worst one we've done in America, because we said, God, we don't want you in our society, we don't want you in our government, we don't want you in our schools, we don't want you in our lives. Just get out of here, God. We're just sticking it up in God's face and saying, we don't want you. God, forgive us for that. We need to pray that, you know, we're not just breaking his laws, we're crushing his laws. We need to pray for our leaders at the local level, the state level, and the national level. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, Scripture tells us to pray for him. Whether we like all those that are in the Senate and in the Congress and the judges, and everything, whether we like them, whether we agree with them or not, God's word tells us to pray for him. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We need to pray for them. I tell you, there's some of the leaders I have a hard time praying for. Can I get a witness? Hello? But God tells me to pray for them. Pray that God would open their eyes to the truth. Pray that they'd come to repentance and faith. And if Jesus needed to pray, don't we need to pray? I want you to notice the second thing here to share with you this morning. We need a place to pray. Did you know Jesus had a certain place he'd go to pray? You remember when they arrested him, they found him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying because that was his custom. He went there a lot to pray. You know, we need a special place. A closet, a place to be alone with God, a time to be alone with God. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a certain time and place that you pray? You know, we're creatures of habit. We sit the same place. You know, I can almost get up here on Sunday mornings and tell you who's here and who's not by where you sit. Hello? And some of you like certain foods. Don't ask Anthony about banana pudding. Amen? And I can see on Facebook, some of you go to certain restaurants you like. We're creatures of habit. We like to do things in the same way. Do we have a place that we pray, that we're in the habit of praying and going there at the same time, same place, and asking God to intervene in lives for us? Do you have a place where you meet the Father just as Jesus did? Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I don't know if I put this in the outline or not. Yeah, I did. Okay. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says, now in the morning. When did Jesus pray? The morning. Now, some of you are not early birds. I understand that. I'll talk about that in a minute. Having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place all alone in his closet, and there he prayed. That's the pattern. You may say, but preacher, I'm not a morning person. I want to pray at night. Well, let me tell you something. There's a problem with that. Because if you wait till the end of the day to pray, you're going to be too tired to pray, and you're going to be too preoccupied with the things you went through in the day. Your mind will be clouded with all this, and you really can't get alone with God and really commune with him and listen to him. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're a morning person or not. If you'll find get up in the morning and pray, God will bless you. And you may not want to get up a great while before daylight. Amen? But before you start your day, pray. Ask God to help you. I want to show you a picture. We were in Israel. I took this picture because lots of times when I was going around Israel, and David and Veronica can tell you this, there's a lot of rough terrain. That there's nothing there. This probably hasn't changed a bit in 2,000 years from Jesus' day. And it says that he went out to a mountain to pray in one place. And I thought, I wonder if that's where Jesus went to pray when he was in that area. That is right up from Sea of Galilee. I wonder. Was it a place like that where he went out all alone, nothing around, nobody around, nothing to distract him, and prayed? We need a place. Set yourself aside a place to pray. Your closet, your prayer closet. Some of you like to pray in the car when you're traveling. That's fine, but just don't run over anybody else. Amen. Don't close your eyes when you pray, for heaven's sake, right? Find you a place. There's no distractions. There's nothing else pressuring in on you. And pray. I want you to notice the third thing. We need a perspective. It's interesting, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Said, now it came to pass as he was praying, as Jesus praying in a certain place, here it is again, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Notice what the first thing they said there is, Lord, teach us to pray. Do we have a right perspective when we pray on who we're talking to? Who we're praying to? That we're coming before the Lord of all creation, the one that created you, one that created me, created this world, one who knows at the beginning from the end, one who's going to straighten it all out one day. Who are we praying to? Who are we talking to? I don't know about you, when I hear somebody talking about, well, I've been talking to the big buddy upstairs or the big man upstairs. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I talk to the Lord of the universe. He's not my best buddy and some big man upstairs. I wouldn't do him any reverence in that way. Amen? He's my Savior and my Lord. Over in Psalms, he said, be still and know that I am God. Now, that's just not the psalmist writing it down. That's God speaking. He says, you be still and know that I am God. And beside me, there is none other. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you got alone with God and didn't bring up your list? We all have our prayer list, amen? And there's nothing wrong with our prayer list. We need to have petitions we name bring before God. But you stop and think about it. Sometimes we need to get alone with God and just be still and know he's God. Just be quiet. Just kneel in his presence. Think about what he's done for you. We walked around all that land over there and walked in some of the places that Jesus walked, knowing that he went to the cross and he died for our sin and he rose again to give us eternal life. Do you realize what he did for you and me? Sometimes you just want to kneel in awe of him. You know, we need the right perspective when it comes to prayer. I want you to notice the fourth thing. We have a privilege. He said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. You know, if you're going to go to the doctor today, you got to make an appointment. If you're going to meet with anybody of any notoriety, any authority, something, you got to have an appointment. Do you know that we have an open appointment anytime, any place, anywhere to come before the Lord of the universe and talk with him? You don't even have to knock on the door. You just come in Jesus' name and he hears us. might say, I don't know how to pray. Can I give you a simple formula for knowing how to pray? Get alone with God and ask Jesus to teach you how to pray. And then listen. And then whatever he brings to your mind, pray it back to him. Whatever he places on your heart, just give it back to him. Let him speak to you. See, teaching involves listening. I heard a fellow say another day that God gave us two eyes and two ears and only one mouth. That there ought to be a whole lot more watching and listening than there is speaking. Jesus is our teacher. When's the last time you and I just got before God and just listened? So God, what would you say about this? What do you think about this? You know what? We always want to go make our decisions and then God ask to bless our decisions. And God, how come you don't answer what we want? Well, maybe it's not what God wants. Maybe we need to listen and ask him what he wants before we start bringing our petitions before him. Maybe you might say, well, God never speaks to me. Well, maybe he isn't talking because we're not listening. We're talking too much. I don't know about you, but I had some kids when they were growing up. Sometimes they'd be talking and they were going, they were rattling on about stuff like that. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise, so I just sat there and not say anything. And finally, when they'd wind down, I'd tell them something about what I thought or something. Sometimes I wonder if God doesn't do us that way. We're just talking and talking and talking. God says, when you get through, I'll tell you what I think about it. But the sad thing is sometimes we get up from that position after we've shared our list, got my prayer list done, out the door, and God says, well, I wanted to talk to you. We have a privilege of coming to pray. I want you to notice the fifth thing here. We have a priesthood. When they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples, Jesus said, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray, or if you feel like praying. He said, when you pray. It's an acknowledgement that we are going to pray. You know, the Old Testament prophet was the voice of God to man. God would speak to the prophet would say to the people, God, thus saith the Lord. The priest was the one who would come and was the voice of man to God. He would intercede for the people and make intercession for them. Do you know, if you're a child of God here this morning, God has called you to be a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. That means we are to intercede to God on behalf of our fellow man, lost and saved. We're to pray for one another. You know, you stop and think about it. Do you know, the lost really can't pray to Jesus because they don't know him. They can't come to Jesus in his name because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You start trying to come outside of the Lord Jesus, God didn't even hear you. You know, the backslidden won't pray. I read a little quote the other day that Charles Spurgeon wrote out years ago when he was alive. He said, sinning will keep you from praying. Praying will keep you from sinning. You stop and think about that. You backslidden won't pray. Why? Because they're in sin. They don't want to come before God. But you know, we've been called by God Almighty. I've been called to preach and to pastor. Some of you fellows have been called to be a deacon. Adrian, to preach the word of God. Some of you have been called to teach and called to minister to others. But you know, the word of God tells us that we're all called to pray. Every one of us. Do you know, if you go back in history and you read about all the great revivals in history, they always started with a few people, not a large multitude at first, just a few people that got on their heart a burden to pray for the needs of the people and for revival. You may know the name of Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts, the Welsh revivals back in 1904, 1905. He was a coal miner. He prayed for 11 years for revival. And his prayer was this simple thing. Lord, bend us. Bend me, O Lord. 11 years he prayed and just a handful of people. And then God brought revival. And it says something like 150,000 people were saved during that revival. The pubs, the bars, the places of ill repute were all closed down because nobody wanted to go around those places anymore. They wanted to be right with God. One man started it because he had a heart to pray. What could God do with you and I if we really had a heart to pray for revival? I want to share you a little story. I'm kind of read it to you. It's from a blog a lady named Bonnie Kidder down in Lafayette, Louisiana, wrote a few years ago. I want you to just listen to her account of something about prayer. She said, I almost hadn't come to the class at church that night. With four kids and a full-time teaching job, I had plenty to do, but my 11-year-old son, Brady, was having surgery the next day. I hated to think of him alone in the operating room. I'd been praying for weeks asking God to be with Brady and his doctors through the surgery, but it didn't feel like enough. She says, standing in the doorway of the church hall, I couldn't believe how many people had showed up for this class. It looked more like 100 were sitting at the table scattered throughout the hall, but not a familiar face among them. No one I can ask to pray with me for Brady. I sat down at a table next to a dark-haired man, but the instructor immediately asked us to move. Let's fill in all these vacant chairs up front, she said. The dark-haired man got up to look for another seat. I crossed the room to an empty chair, but just as I got there, someone else took it. I spotted another chair at the next table. The same thing happened again and again. I had not come here for a game of musical chairs, but I thought as I made a beeline for another chair, I flung myself in it and turned to see the same dark-haired man I'd left behind. We meet again, he said, as the instructor stood to speak. Tonight I thought we'd share about our lives outside the church, he said. Everybody share with the people at your table how you work your faith into your daily life. She said, the dark-haired man said, I'm an anesthesiologist. Before I put a patient under, I pray for him. I asked each patient if they'd like to pray too. I used to be embarrassed about this, and then she interrupted him. She said, I think it's wonderful. My son is having surgery tomorrow. I feel so much better if his doctor would pray with him. He said, where is his surgery? I mentioned the hospital. Dr. Duplechain is doing the operation. And then he said this, then I can assure you that your son will be surrounded by prayer, he said, because I am the one scheduled to be taking him into the operating room. In a room full of strangers, God had seated me twice next to the one who could pray with me tonight, my son, in the morning. That's what prayer does. Let's pray. Just really pray. Let me tell you something. When you pray, God blesses. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. Lord, we're like little children. We don't know how to go out or come in. We don't know all the things you know. But Lord, help us to come before you as your children and pray. And just share our heart with a Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Your son Jesus sits by your right hand making intercession, praying for us today. God, draw us to yourself. Give us a heart to pray. Give us the things that we need to pray about, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just a moment, we have our invitation. Maybe God's really burdening in your heart this morning that you need to come and pray this morning about something or someone. Follow him. Start this morning praying. If you're this morning, you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just come say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I want to trust Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to know heaven is my home. You come. I'll pray with you that you can be saved. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, but you've not been baptized by immersion to show others that you've died to your old self and raised to walk in the newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to make that decision this morning, step out and come. If you're here and you've been coming to this church a while, want to plant your life in this church, join this church by membership to serve the Lord Jesus Christ here at Fairfield Baptist Church, just come. And if you're like me, if there's people on your heart that you're just broken over, that they're ruining their lives, Satan is trying to destroy them, and you want to come and pray for them this morning, you come. Our Lord's waiting. It's an open appointment. Anytime, anywhere, any place, for any reason. Father in heaven, thank you this morning. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary, how he rent the veil of the temple in two, that we could come boldly to the throne of grace, to find the mercy and grace that we need. Draw us to yourself now. Let your will be done in all of our hearts and lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, would you stand?